Good morning, everybody in Taxi Land. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and Mike is here.
Yes.
Mike is here.
I'm okay. Here, and I'm ready, and I'm on time, and everything is good.
He's also known as JFK Mike, in case you don't know it. The same JFK Mike that slips into the Taxi Dave show at night. Okay?
Yes.
All right. But he became famous
my
here.
My alter ego.
He became famous here on the Mike and Abe show. All right? Now he's famous. They're going to give him his Hollywood stardom, star on the Walk of Fame.
You're the kingmaker. The kingmaker for sure. That's yeah. You. Yeah.
All right. So listen, Mike. You know about this? I want to tell everybody about this city council meeting tomorrow. Okay. And
tomorrow meaning Monday.
Yeah,
for the people
tomorrow is Monday, September the 25th. Today is the 24th. Okay, as we record this show to be heard whenever. All right,
worldwide.
Worldwide. I'm just going to read from the City Council site. Okay, by members Rodriguez, Coob, Mendez and Richards, a local law to create a task force to study taxicab medallion values. Be it enacted by the council as follows. Section 1, Taxicab Medallion Values Task Force. There is hereby established a task force to study taxicab medallion values and shall review the sale prices of taxicab medallions in the preceding 5 years. Potential future sale prices of medallions and the impact of such sales on the city's budget. Following such okay.
Better late than never. Better late than ever.
Yeah. Oh, better late
Go
than
ahead.
Ever. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. $1 million each later. So I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Following such review, task force shall recommend changes to laws, rules, regulations, and policies related to taxicabs designed to increase the value of such medallions. So they're going to review these things and come up with some policies that will increase the medallions. Value back to somewhere near maybe where they were. Okay. B. The task force shall have 11 members and shall be, and this is the part I like, okay, the commissioner of the Taxicab and Limousine Commission or their designee, okay, a taxicab medallion owner who is not required by law to drive their taxicab. Well, nowadays, no owner is required to drive because they changed the rules about owner drivers. Okay,
so that's amazing.
Okay,
Go
so it seems silly that they should put that clause in there. All right, that person be as appointed by the Speaker of the Council. Okay, a taxicab medallion owner who is required by law to drive their taxicab as appointed by the Speaker of the Council. One is not required and one is required, but there is none that are required. Okay, all right. For an individual,
this one person would be required out of all the industry. So this one person would have to drive his cab to be on a member of the committee.
It's Article B. A task force shall have 11 members. It shall be, and Article 2 is a taxicab medallion owner who is not required by law to drive the taxicab. Okay, that would be somebody like a mini fleet owner. Okay. Formally, but now all taxicab owners are not required to drive. Okay, I believe that's so. Okay, it used to be that the owner drivers were required to drive a minimum number of shifts a year. Okay, but I believe they removed that. Okay, and for an individual who represents an institution that lends money for the purpose of purchasing or financing taxi medallions as appointed by the Speaker of the Council. So they want somebody from Melrose or somebody from Progressive, somebody from Lompto, all these places that lend money. Yeah. There are banks that lend money, Signature Bank and Citibank and such.
Okay. Now, what do they say about people who are physically driving cabs? What percentage of this board is going to be consisting of cab drivers? Well, not medallion owners, but... Let's say cab drivers, because eventually cab drivers want to buy a medallion, theoretically.
Okay, well, the one medallion owner who is not required by law, and one medallion owner who is required by law, which like I say, doesn't exist anymore. So there'd be two, maybe there'd be two taxi cab owners.
Two.
Okay, an individual represents an institution that lends money for the purpose of purchasing or finance committees as appointed by the Speaker of the Council. The public advocate or his designee, one member is appointed by the mayor, and five members as appointed by the Speaker of the Council, to whom shall be members of the Council, and one of whom shall serve as chair. The members to be appointed by the mayor and the Speaker of the Council shall be appointed within 60 days of the enactment of this local law. Now, Mike, what do you have to say?
Once again, where are the cab drivers? Where are the people who are sitting in cabs and driving to talk about medallion values? Because the big hello moment in this is medallion values go up when cabs are easily rentable and easily operated. And if the cab drivers are treated well, which they were under Matt Dodds to an extent, I mean, he made a couple of mistakes here and there, but all in all, damning Dodds with faint praise, he didn't do a horrible job as far as medallion equity and as far as the actual lease drivers were concerned. Now, this board they're making, once again, you have basically two people out of a board of what, 11 people? It's going to be 11 people, and they're going to have less than 20% of the board being people who run a cab and being people who drive a cab. The other, like, 90 or whatever percent, or let's say 80-something percent of that board are going to be people who don't drive cabs. I mean, I have ideas, and cab drivers have ideas, and there should be at least four or five people who will operate and drive cabs. I mean, it shouldn't be two out of 11. This is ridiculous. And in tell you the truth, in my opinion, this board, the way it's structured at this time right now, it's rewarding some of the people, not all, but some of the people who have screwed up this business in the last 4 years. So why do we continue to keep rewarding people who screw things up and punish people and ignore people who know exactly what they're doing and could help fix the situation? I mean, this is what I'm seeing right now with this board makeup. Go ahead.
Why don't you elaborate on who has screwed up the industry and is on the board?
I don't want to do that. All I'm going to say is let's live in the moment,
no,
all right?
No names. Are you saying there were...
Here's the thing, yeah. All right? The guy driving the cab and the guy trying to run his or her cab is not the person who screwed up this business, okay? The people who do not drive cabs and do not operate cabs, in my opinion, are the ones who should be taking the task. They shouldn't be awarded with being able to sit on some board. They should be asked, how did this happen in the first place? I mean, you have people basically who tried to work both sides of the street with Uber and the yellow cabs, and they failed miserably, okay? Mm-hmm. And they screwed up the whole thing for the city of New York. And right now, what has happened was there was a recent private auction, which basically at least gave us a floor price for medallions in the city of New York and validated all the criticism and lawsuits and everything else we were talking about for the last couple of years, in that the medallions plummeted, and a lot of those medallions were owned or are owned by first-generation immigrants who had put sweat equity into trying to keep their little cab on the road and got punished for trusting the city of New York and the de Blasio administration.
Okay.
So now these same people who basically screwed up the business are now going to come back with a proposal and check out Medallion Valley. It's like, listen, I wish we would have checked out medallion values 2 years ago, but apparently the primaries are over in New York City, and everybody is safely tucked away, and now they can finally do something. So I guess it's plus and minus.
Okay, let me just ask you this. I'm not going to ask you who should sit on the board. I'm going to ask you who...
You should sit on the board.
Well,
You should be the board.
You're right. I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Right? I would love to be on the board. Perhaps I could do it via... A Skype or something where I be online, okay? But
right. And let me just tell the listening audience that this man Abe,
yeah,
made a website to fight back or and to defend his rights, his property rights, and he knows more about the business in 5 minutes. He can tell you more about the business than these people trying to study the business. Listen, instead of studying the business per se, get people who know the business. And Abe, you said something to me. It was very valuable. You said, you ran your cabs or run your cab now as it is. You like when your driver makes money because then you know you're going to make money and your medallion is going to go up, correct?
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people don't see it that way. A lot of people have a sweatshop mentality with this taxi business, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But there are some owners like you and a few other people I know who are happy when their drivers make money because they know the business will be solid when that happens. And a lot of these people, I'm afraid today, are just fast buck artists who don't think like that.
When I want to just elaborate on that. When I ran my cab hands-on, I don't do that anymore. Okay, I have a broker running it, okay? Or I should say my medallion. Right. When I ran it hands-on, not only did I charge the drivers that, or the one or two drivers that I would have, you know, I didn't have a lot of drivers. I mean, they came and went over the years, okay? One driver stayed with me for over 20 years, okay? And why did he, why did he stay with me for over 20 years? Because I charged him the least amount of money possible, okay? That would get us by, okay, and
it also gets that cab on the road, and you kept your cabs on the road.
Yeah, but I did something that many owners would never do. I drove.
What's that?
I drove.
Oh, you drove, yeah.
You know, I drove. You know, a few days a week. You know, three, four shifts a week. Okay, you know, and I did that for all the time that I was running my medallion. Okay, so I wasn't only. You know, leasing my car out to a driver, I was sharing that car with the driver and making money for myself.
Right.
And I knew what was out there on the streets. I knew what was going on. Okay, I was mm-hmm. You couldn't be more on top of it than I was. All right?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And I want to read, you know, that all this being said, I want to read something that was in Cranes. Where is it? It's here. I just had it here.
Well, let's back up and remind the folks, when is this meeting taking place? Because we are...
Tomorrow.
We're cutting the show
September
right now.
September 25th.
Tomorrow meeting when?
September 25th at 1 p.m.
September 25th at 1 p.m. at City Hall in New York City, Manhattan. They're going to talk about medallion values and taxi owners and guys who have bought medallions and gals who have bought medallions. And also, I just want to say, on top of that, I would like to know what the TLC has gathered from their little... economic summit in March. I mean, they had this big economic summit about the taxi cab business.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these numbers and people testified and blah, blah, blah.
Are you talking about...
I'm waiting
that
for...
That was in April 6th.
Yeah. Right, April 6th. Yeah. And I'm still waiting for something concrete from that meeting. Right now, everybody just wasted a day of their time.
Yeah, well,
and
well,
maybe
well,
more
that meeting,
to get stuff
that
made.
Meeting can be seen on NYC Taxi News. The link is on the front page. To watch that meeting, okay? And everybody should watch that meeting. It's 5 hours long, but it's worth every minute of your time, okay? You can watch it.
It's a homework assignment.
You can watch it. You don't have to watch it all at once. You can watch an hour at a time because you can scroll to where you left off when you finish watching, okay?
Right.
Now, this little bit of opinion was I found on Crane's newspaper yesterday. Okay, concerning the hearing, okay? And, you know, let me read the whole thing, Mike, and then tell me what you think about what this says, all right? The Taxi and Limousine Commission does not consider one of its responsibilities to be propping up the value of the taxi medallions, okay? But the City Council bill to be considered at a hearing Monday would establish a task force to study ways to do so, which raises the question, what's the point? Well, one reason for the bill sponsors is to get taxi interests to stop pestering you. But if the bill passes and a task force is created and makes recommendations to achieve a goal that the de Blasio administration does not agree with and has no obligation to achieve, a tremendous amount of time could be wasted. On the other hand, perhaps the administration or future one will see some of the recommendations as worth doing. There is a potential benefit to the city of raising medallion values. It would generate more revenue for the city and the next time it auctions new medallions. But that might never happen as there are too many taxis already and adding more would only dilute the market, reducing the value of medallions. That's the opposite of what the legislation seeks. Mike, take it over.
Well, the one thing I'm going to say with this article, what was this, from Cranes?
This is from Cranes. It's just a short opinion that Cranes gave.
All right. Well, once again, it's not even the elephant in the room. It's like the blue whale in the room. There's a line in that article that says, oh, the Taxi Commission doesn't think they should be propping up medallion prices. It's what you call a big hello moment. Every time the Taxi Commission and the City of New York have organized a medallion auction, okay? They have an upset price, all right? If you want to go in there, Mike and Abe, let's say, walk in there, and we're selling a medallion. What's the first bid? I bid $5. They'll throw you out. They have a minimum upset price in all their auctions where you have to have guaranteed financing and guaranteed money to wave at them if you win the medallion auction. Now, I think the last one of the prices, one of the upset prices beginning opening bid at these taxi medallion auctions not too long ago was, I believe it was $420,000. So basically, they weren't going to close a sale for this medallion to you if you bid on it for less than $420,000. So right there, the taxi commission has propped up the price and, in my opinion, given a wink and a wave that it's going to be at least worth $420,000, because that's the least amount of bid price that the city of New York and the taxi commission will accept at that last auction. I mean, you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, and I just want to point out that I think at the very last auction that they had, it was much more than that.
Okay,
without naming a figure, okay? It was much more than that. But right. Whatever that price is, they should live up to it.
Right. I mean, okay. you're thinking like I'm thinking, and you're thinking like a lot of other cabbies are thinking, saying, listen, if this medallion price, let's be honest, if the medallion price crashes in 3 or 4 years to half the price it was, if it goes from $1.1 million down to $550,000, which I would consider in any other business a crash price, the city of New York, I mean, they guarantee bonds, they guarantee real estate, they guarantee a lot of stuff issued by the city of New York. Perfect example. City of New York issues bonds, guaranteed by the city of New York.
Right.
Okay. City of New York issued medallions. Why isn't that guaranteed by the city of New York? So if it does crash, you can walk into the taxi commission and say, listen, guys, this is too weird. I want you to take the medallion back. Cut me a check for whatever the minimum upset bid was at that auction that I got the medallion price, and I'm out of here. I mean, if am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, like you, for example. I mean, you've been on a roller coaster with your medallion price, and you're retired. You're thinking you're sailing into the sunset, and maybe you can lead us through some of the peaks and valleys you've went through between, like you said, driving 3-4 days a week, then you moved to Florida and thought you were retired, and then what happened?
Well, it crashed, you know, and why did it crash?
It crashed.
It crashed because the city of New York did not enforce the rules and regulations and the law, okay?
Right.
Okay, they turned it back on the law that says that taxi cabs are the only ones that can pick up street hails, okay? They gave us this BS, right. And they convinced the court somehow of this BS that... with the Ubers and the Lyfts and all these other people that are using apps are in a street hail, okay? You know, it doesn't matter how they pick up the street hail, what tool they use to pick up the street hail. They're picking up street hails, okay?
Bingo.
All right.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
I'm out there last night. It was like a joke. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know, and not only that, and then there are all the times that they're doing it without any app, okay? You know, they're just pulling up to people and making deals, okay? And so where's the enforcement? That's what I want to know. You think that you don't have enough people for enforcement? Well, pay the enforcers a commission of all the fines they'll be collecting if they start enforcing, and you'll see how many enforcers you'll have. Okay.
Right. Well, you know what? Interesting. Somebody was saying somebody had a good point. You know, these cabbies are so smart. I mean, these guys come over like first generation cabbies.
Yeah.
They, I guess they have the blind eye, and they study everything. It's like baseball. You can win a lot of games if you actually read the rules of baseball. Like, I had a lady who was coaching her son's baseball team, and she won, like, maybe 2 or 3 games because she pointed out to the ump, like, some of the rules in the actual rule book, like a guy's batting out of order or a ground ball is supposed to be fair or whatever.
Right.
But she won 2 or 3 baseball games because she actually read the rules. Now, we, unfortunately, don't read a lot of the rules, but the guy coming in fresh reads a lot of rules, and one of those rules is just for the street hail, and I think we have to get back to that. See, it's the morning, so I lost my train of thought what I was going to say, but the fact of the matter is a lot of these first generation guys see this, and like I said, when they bought a medallion from the city, they're expecting a mother's love from the city of New York. You're expecting, well, I didn't buy it from some guy off the street. I bought this directly from the city of New York, who had a minimum upset bid, which tells me, at the very least, it's going to be worth a few bucks. It was worth a sizable amount of money. And I jump back to the fact that you and other people, like if you had the chance, I'm sure there were a few times where if you had the chance, I mean, you'd take a big haircut asking the TLC for their minimum upset bid price to take your medallion back. But there were a few scary moments when I'm sure you wouldn't have had a problem with that, correct?
Right, but let me just say, we're talking about what is a street hail, what is a street hail. Okay, that's where you got lost.
Right.
All right. And what I'm saying is, and what you're agreeing, and pretty much everybody in NEC agrees, that a street hail is a street hail regardless of how it's created. Okay? You know,
mm-hmm.
And it says right in the rules, by whistling, by an app, it says right there. All right, a street hail is defined. Okay? But they're mm-hmm. also saying that what the Ubers and the others are doing with their app is not a street hail, when very simply it contradicts what it says in the rules. What's a street hail? A street hail is very simple.
Right.
It's either somebody standing on the street that wants a taxi immediately, okay,
mm-hmm.
or it's taxis cruising the streets looking for business. Now none of those none of those FHVs, which Uber and all of those are included in, are allowed to cruise the street looking for business. Okay,
but they
nor
do.
Are they
but
allowed.
They do anyway.
Nor are they allowed to sit in front of hotels waiting for people to come out. Okay, which they do.
Right.
Okay, right. Or sit in front of the mm-hmm. Javits Center, or take people at the airport by clogging up the terminals. For the minute they walk out, the people walk out looking for transportation. All of these crooked ways they have of getting people into their car, all of this business should be going to medallion taxis. And if there weren't enough medallion right. taxis to take all this business, they should have created more medallions to take this business. Okay? As I said in an article called Ocean in the Burrows back in 2007. Go. Okay.
The epic article, yes.
Yeah, go. What are you going to say?
I know last night I was at, I rarely work Saturdays because I hate working Saturdays because it's amateur night for me. But I work six other days, so it's not like I'm slacking in the cab. But I came up, let's say, $100 light on my weekly number that I was shooting for. So I went out for a couple of jobs. I went out to Kennedy, so I figured, well, if I just need $100, I'll grab 60 or 70 out there. Got a couple of street jobs, and then I'm gone. So I went out to Kennedy, and they send me over to Terminal 5, the dreaded Terminal 5, which is now going to be the TWA International Hotel. And the cabs are being dispatched from basically a construction site with two porta-potties and an elevator and a bus stop and a blah, 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 and right in front of Terminal 5, directly in front of Terminal 5, they got like this cluster of Uber cars. So I don't even think they're Uber cars. I think they're just like gypsy cabs, because they have an FHV lot literally next to the cab lot half a mile away, who are supposed to be dispatched from that lot to the terminal. But apparently what these knuckleheads do is they swarm onto the terminal, and if a passenger wants to get a yellow cab legally, they have to walk about half a mile. And if they go downstairs, there's this big traffic jam with a couple of rent-a-cops, who I'm sure a few of them are getting greased on the side by these knucklehead gypsy cab drivers, the illegal hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, who is the person that enacted that? Who is the operations person at JFK who said, let's put the cabs on the other side of the terminal and have chaos in front of the terminal? We have to start asking those questions. We have to start asking why these weird things start happening. Because I hate to say it, but I'm wondering if it's weird or if it's something else.
Well,
because the layout of Terminal 5 at JFK is horrible.
It certainly attracts suspicion. Okay?
Well put.
Okay.
Now,
I just want
to... You know, I'll tell you, there was a... where you actually get the cab, it's disgusting because you have two porta-potties, and, you know, some of these lady dispatchers, I mean, they're females. You don't want a female using a freaking porta-potty. And there's no sink in... I don't think there's a sink in the porta-potty. There might be, like, a disinfectant... hand lotion.
I'm sure
thing.
If there was a sink, disgusting. I'm sure if there was a sink in the porta potty, it would be as filthy as the porta potty itself. Okay. Now, just let me just say one thing here about this Crane's opinion. Okay, about this line, but that might never happen, as there are too many taxis already, and adding more would only dilute the market. What are you serious, man? You put 100,000 you put 100,000 cars out there, and at least half of them shouldn't be out there. Okay? You put
right.
You know, so what do you mean there are too many taxis already? There aren't enough taxis. There should be those 50,000 extra, you know, sleaze vehicles that are out there should all be taxis. Okay?
You know what they could have done? They could have, I remember Koch wanted to do this years ago. He said, this is like in the 80s or 90s.
I remember.
There were, I think, 11,787 was the number.
That's
11,787.
That's right.
The number. And Koch had an idea, and he was instantly poo-pooed by everybody. And I was never a big Koch fan. I met him a couple of times.
Yeah.
I thought he was a prick, but I guess he did some good stuff. But he had a good idea where he said, let's just double the number of yellow cabs and keep the two-way radios in there for guys like you who know there's an ocean in the boroughs.
Right.
So we theoretically could have had we could have had 25,000 yellow cabs with two-way radio dispatched in them, and everybody would have been skipping along happily through the city. Would have been great.
Right.
In retrospect, right? Now right. We have this complete idiocy. And what happened to the environmental, you know, protection agency with all this pollution being farted out by 50,000 Uber
that's
cars?
It's been ignored. Another thing that's been ignored. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and now you're saying that Koch was right, okay, and
dare I say,
and in hindsight, looking back, yes, he was, okay.
But well, what do you think about that? If you would have just doubled the medallion,
he wanted to put 1,800. He didn't want to double them. He wanted to. I don't know if he said double ever, but I remember him saying that he wanted to add 1,800 medallions to the fleet, okay.
Right.
And there was a lot of opposition to that, and that's when he created the radio car. Okay, which in fact were the FHVs, okay, which they swore to us would never interfere with the medallions. They swore to us, okay, but what they didn't swear was that that eventually with new administrations that didn't make that commitment, you know, they didn't put it into law, okay, that it would be fully enforced. Okay, they just said right. They would be fully enforced, just like when David Yaski wanted to put the green cabs out and we said that they would interfere with us, he said it will be fully enforced. Okay, you know, words mm-hmm. are big, actions are another thing. All right, words are small, mm-hmm. I should say, and actions are big, but we don't see these actions. Okay. We don't see
Never.
These actions.
Never.
Oh, you know, I mean, because mm-hmm. administrations change, and the second they're out of office, any promises they made mean nothing unless if it's written into the law. Okay?
Well, this is the problem.
And even so,
a lot of these taxi commission rules are ridiculous.
And even so, when it's written into the law, they don't abide by it. They look the other way. We're the only ones, us taxi drivers, that have to abide by every letter of the law, or else we get summonsed, right? If you have a bulb
right.
out,
well, let me,
you know, if you have a signal yeah. bulb out, you know, you're facing a $100 fine. Okay. Well, they have a lot of signal bulbs right. out over there at that taxi commission. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so may I?
Go ahead,
I just want
Mike.
To ask you one thing. I'm so sorry. See, well, I'm into it. I'm into it. You get me up early. This is a very hot topic.
Yeah.
All the cabbies love the show, so I'm sorry I interrupt so much. I'm obnoxious, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you. But listen, if you were walking down the street one day, and all of a sudden, out of the sky, you get hit in the brain by a lightning bolt, and the voice of God says, Abe, you are now the king of the taxi industry in New York City, what does Abe do the next day? Give me like the
next
top
day,
five Abe things.
The very next
that you would
day?
Do. The next day.
The very next day.
You are the all high, like almighty cab,
the first
God
thing I do
of
is,
New York City. What do you do?
The first thing Follow I do God. Is I call up President Trump. And I say, President Trump, this is Abe, the king of the taxi business. Okay? Our governor, who I feel loves the Ubers and loves what they're doing to the taxi industry in New York City. I can't call him because he's in charge of the National Guard. Okay, but I would like you to send troops, you know, U.S. Army, U.S. Marines, into New York City to get these cars off my road. To get these, to get these illegal cars off my road, and to see to it that our airports are policed correctly, and get all of those cars off out of our airports. Okay.
So you're saying the first thing you would do would have Trump send in the National Guard to load up all the illegal gypsy cabs onto barges and dump in the ocean, basically.
Yes. Yes, dump them. Well, I don't want to pollute the ocean, okay? You know, just take the cars off the road. You know, take all their licenses away if they have any at all, okay? And, and you know, then we won't need any congestion pricing, okay? And after he's finished doing that, you know, I know the people need some of these vehicles to get around. So I would issue double the medallions, triple the medallions, okay? And tell these medallions that I would create medallions for every borough, okay, and let the bids begin, okay. There would be a Staten Island medallion, okay, and all medallions can operate any way they want. They can operate with radios, they can operate with apps, or they can cruise the streets, whatever they choose, okay. Because I don't think cruising taxis do very well in places like Staten Island. Or in the outer parts of the boroughs of Brooklyn and Queens, such as Mill Basin or Bay Ridge and Staten Island. I mentioned Staten Island or not Flushing, but Whitestone or Bayside, places like that. These people do need transportation. Okay. So I would let these medallions operate any way they chose. They could cruise the streets. Okay. Or they could use radios or apps, okay? And they would all have medallions, okay? These medallions would be limited in number. I would create a task force to study just how many vehicles are actually needed to service the public, okay?
Right.
And not issue one more vehicle more than that study shows, okay?
You know, before I forget, I just want to jump in here.
Yeah.
What makes me crazy, along those lines, I mean, these cars are also sucking away money from the MTA buses and subways. Everybody's crying about the subways and the buses. You have, I'd say at least, tomorrow, you could probably get rid of at least 20,000 of these wacky app cars, and that money would go straight into revenues for the subways and the buses. And I see these app car ads on the backs of buses, on the back of MTA buses in New York City. How effing stupid is that? You're promoting an app car and group ride companies on the back of city buses. When you're talking about the city buses and trains need money, you're promoting companies that are sucking away revenue from the MTA. I mean, we're living in insane times, my friend.
I know that. I know. Well, look, advertising is free and clear, and I'm not going to comment on advertising, but I'm going to say this. I would create a task force, okay, that's the word, not task, task force, okay, to study the transportation needs in the city of New York, okay, and come up with how many buses do we need, okay, and how many vehicles for hire that we need, and I'm talking about all of these vehicles for hire being taxis, okay?
Right.
The same business in all the boroughs, okay? Medallion taxis, okay? Or even if they didn't want to be taxis, so to speak, that all what is out there would have a cap. Okay, you can't just keep putting cars on the road like Uber does. You know, if everybody in the city of New York that owned the car wanted to be part of Uber, they would love to do that. Okay?
Right.
They would like to take everybody who owns a car and make them into Uber cars so they could keep collecting money from each one. Okay?
Yep.
You know, these cars that are out there should be able to earn a living for the driver. Okay? And they should be,
right.
And they should mm-hmm. not have, there should not be more than what are needed. You know, some people own cars, and they like to use their own car. They don't mind driving into the city and paying whatever it costs to park.
Right.
They don't mind that. But I would put, mm-hmm. there would definitely be solid limits on the number of for-hire vehicles and taxis, both. But they would all have some sort of medallion, okay, whatever they be, for-hire vehicle or taxi. They would have some sort of cap and some kind of medallion to show that they are one of the legal vehicles out there, okay? And anybody
right.
and anybody that's driving an illegal vehicle, I would for that I would have people that I would hire on commission, you know, small salary, okay, but a commission. If you find an illegal vehicle out there or a vehicle operating illegally, you know, and I don't want any BS summonses. Okay, I want you to mm-hmm. hand out real summonses to people that deserve them. Okay?
Right.
All right? Okay, and they would be paid a commission to do this, and that would stop the argument that they don't have the budget to hire people to enforce the rules, okay, and laws. All right?
Right. Well, you know, but now I remember. Now my brain is opening
yeah.
up, because what one cabbie told me, and this is like I said, this is from the mouth of babes, from a cabbie who's like a first generation guy who owns a cab, and he said this. You're not so far off on the commission basis, because isn't that what the marshal does? Like, if he's grabbing your car off the street for unpaid ticket, I think the marshals or the people who go around grabbing scofflaws off the street, they get a piece of the action too, don't they? Like, for all, they auction up a car.
I don't know.
For
is that
ticket.
True? You tell me.
I think I've heard it. I got to check into that. But you're not that far off. Like, if they grab a $20,000 Uber car off the street, and let's say the city got $7,000 because the operator was breaking the law, you can believe me that the banks and the car dealers and everybody would call the mayor's office and say, listen, you got to crack down on these guys picking up illegally off the street, because our car, our $20,000 car, is going to be auctioned for half price because you just basically dragged it off the street because the operator, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
instead of us crying all the time, if there was a vested interest where if the banks and the people who lend money and the car, people who sell these cars had some skin in the game for illegal operation, you can bet your boopy that they would make some calls to the mayor's office and say, listen, you know, you can't keep grabbing these cars on the street for auction because, you know, you're auctioning them off for half price. And then all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, stuff would start happening. And the other thing, let's see. Oh, what does Abe, the cab owner, have to say to the people who, when Uber first started, basically rented out their medallion, and then they ran around the corner and bought an Uber car? You got guys who are double-dipping. They still own the medallions. They're crying about the medallion price. They're crying about the lease price they're getting for operating the medallion. And they're running an Uber car on the side. What are your thoughts on that?
Can I use the word schmuck?
Yeah, be my guest. At least you
know,
can start with schmuck.
Well, but. Yeah, a schmuck is somebody that steps in the puddle, you know, because he thinks it's clean water.
Right.
Okay.
So, but to a degree, they did that with the black cars, but apparently it worked out because they took out the two-way radios. A lot of black car guys rented out their medallion and ran the black cars. So everything was no big deal because it was kind of like, you know, picking up late night fares in the battery, and they were happy. The cabbies were happy because, you know, everybody seemed to make a living. But now with this Uber thing, I've seen a few guys, the gall, for lack of a better word, of some of these Uber guys changing shift with their cab guys at the main lot in JFK while they sit in their Uber car. And then they complain about the medallion price, and they complain about the lease that they're getting from the broker. And they're basically just giving rope to the death of this, to the hangman.
They've done it to themselves. Well, they've done it to themselves.
Yeah. What do you have to say? Let's say that person is listening now. What do you say directly to that person?
Thanks a lot. Not.
You gotta warn me about that.
You
Yes.
know, thanks a lot. Thanks for ruining my career. All right.
Right, and ruining their investment too.
Yeah. Okay. Listen.
So, and their little genius move.
Yeah.
They make X amount of dollars per year, and they've lost half the medallion price because they've helped destroy their golden goose. They took the golden goose and killed it. And sold it for cat food. That's their genius plan.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense?
No, we know we played that topic. Let me just ask you this question. All right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Having said all that we've said so far, okay, mm-hmm. what do you expect to come out of this city hall thing tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you what I expect to come out of me at the city hall thing. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be speaking outside the meeting. I'm speaking on the air. I'm going to set my hair on fire, what's left of it,
yeah.
and tell these people, listen, you can't have like 15% of this committee being people who don't run cabs or drive cabs.
Mike.
I mean, come on.
Mike, let me say something. And this meeting starts at 1 p.m. Okay.
It's a little early.
No, you could make it to this meeting. I know. Okay.
Right.
You know. I know you're a night shift guy. All right. But
right.
but you've been up for other things earlier. You go to the dentist.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, over there.
The dentist.
Yeah, you go to the one in First Avenue, right?
Right.
Okay.
I'm up for you know I've. It's 1 o'clock. The guy I talked to, one of these Spanish guys yesterday from, it's called T-Moda. It's not a cell phone. It's like Taxi Medallion Owner Drivers Association.
Yeah,
and he's a great guy. Yeah. And without outing him on the air, I'm going to probably see him tomorrow. And he said you got to bring some ID to get through the door, because the city council thing starts at 1. But speaking frankly, this is the name of the game. And let's say a guy like me who does not own a medallion, I'd like to know if I buy a medallion. Am I going to destroy my life doing it?
Well,
that's another little
thing. The first thing that should be done about the medallions is, you know, no, who would buy a medallion now without some sort of guarantee that the price will be,
guaranteed?
Okay, I mean,
this is one thing. I mean, if you buy, I could see one thing if it was buying medallions on the street,
yeah,
from another like person to person cabinet. But if you're getting especially something. Here's the plan for that in my mind. If you had some kind of law saying what the price should be guaranteed if it's issued from the city, then that could trickle down to the rest of the industry as far as what that would be. You think what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, not only okay. guarantee of the price, but guarantee that the street hail thing will be protected. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what guarantees the price, that the laws are enforced. Okay. That
mm-hmm.
that along right. with a guarantee of the number, whatever the price is. Okay. Such as like you say,
mm-hmm.
an upset price where they say if the thing crashes, you know, you're guaranteed that it won't be worth less than this, and that the city will buy it back. Okay.
Right.
At that price,
should mm-hmm.
okay, you know what I mean? How could the city of New York sell these things without taking some of the risk? All right,
exactly.
Honestly,
Abe, you have an excellent point, and I think when these guys go back to the court in front of a judge for the 50 zillionth time, they should say, "Listen, if it was a pure auction where there was no upset price, then the city of New York could say, hey, look, you know, we." You can buy it for a dollar, you can pay $1 million, but there's no upset price. We're just going to auction it to the highest bidder and let the industry decide what that minimum price should be. But the city of New York would not have released these medallions into the hands of a winning bidder unless you came up with their minimum upset bid price, which tells me they've done their homework and they're protecting the business to at least that point.
Yeah.
So that would be an excellent thing to start with this medallion value meeting or whatever the heck it is, because you can do your homework. Go on the internet. If you go to the nyc.gov/taxi, it gives you the history of the auctions within the last 10 years or so, and you can see for yourself that the city did establish minimum upset bid prices. And I heard on the air the other day this ad for the city of New York selling bonds. We have available bonds. These are bonds, guaranteed by the full credit and security of the city of New York. So the taxi medallion should be given bond status, in my opinion. Well, am I right or what?
Absolutely.
The Avis just said I'm absolutely right, which has never happened before. So we'll agree on something.
Yeah, no, you're right sometimes, Mike. Okay. You're absolutely right.
I'm the broken watch.
You're absolutely right sometimes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm the broken watch of online radio. I'm right sometimes, twice a day. I'm right.
Yeah. All right. So listen, that's our show. I think that's it for today.
That's the show.
Okay, so
I'm sorry to be so snappy, but if you bring in I get very emotional about this stuff because some of these things are so simple to fix, and it's so stupid that it's broken. I mean, you got to be out of your mind with the city of New York. They for years they're selling a piece of tin and some paperwork for $1 million. I mean, a piece of tin and some paperwork would probably cost like $12 to make. The city of New York can turn around and sell it for $1 million. And this is why, and this is something they screwed up. I mean, how do you screw that up? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this day one. And I want to thank the city council members, Costas in Astoria. He's on the city council, and also the gentleman who runs the transportation committee. What's his name?
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez. Yeah. Idanis Rodriguez. Idanis, there we go. Right. So we're going to start getting into this. And I think the guy's name is Costas Constantinides, and he's my city council person, so I should really know these things. And but we're going to get on this because apparently the Democratic primaries are over. Everybody's 90% tucked away.
Yeah.
And these are the people we have to deal with, and they have made some olive branch overtures to the yellow cab people. But we got to get on those boards. We got to stop these characters from taking away all the board memberships from cabbies and people who run cabs. I mean, this goes on all the time. And it's like, listen, we can tell you, we're there every day driving cabs and running cabs. We know what's going on. And this is how it got screwed up in the first place, because you didn't ask us, the people who are on the front lines, what's going on. So they have to start doing this. And I'm going to be there to say that. I'm going to try at least. And if I don't say it there, I'm going to say it on the air on the Mike and Abe show. And on the Taxi Dave show on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
On 710.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Oh, last thing, real quick. Next we're going to go deeper into the Uber thing in London, because apparently Uber is about to get banned in London. So
okay, so next week we'll go, let's say goodbye to everybody and say that next week we'll talk about Uber in London, because the jury's still out on that one, and Uber, you know, they're not just going away so fast, okay?
Right. We'll get the facts.
Yeah, we'll get the facts, and next week's show we'll address that. All right? But it's not a bad thing.
Okay, buddy.
But it's not a bad thing.
Thank you, Abe. You're doing a great job. And thank you, all the listeners and fans. And we'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.